Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast, Jaeger CPA Review and More. This podcast is sponsored by Jaeger CPA Review, the course provider that deals only with the AICPA blueprints. Please go to the JaegerCPAReview.com website and look at our various products. And we believe in seeing is believing. And therefore, please look at our 3-day free trial. Pick a subject, and it'll give you 3 days free access, unlimited, to that product. And I believe that once you look at that product and see how it works, you will pick Jaeger CPA Review as your course provider. If you have any questions, you can reach us at 301-874-4900. If you press 5, you may even talk to Phil Jaeger. Take care, everyone, on your journey for the CPA exam. We wish you the best and good luck.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of CPA Review and More. We are pleased to bring you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you'd like to learn more about how Jaeger CPA Review can help you, find us on our website at JaegerCPAReview.com. Now, here's your host, Phil Jaeger.
Hello, everyone. This is Phil Jaeger of CPA Review and More. Why do we call it CPA Review and More? Well, the whole intention originally was to talk about preparing for the CPA exam. And then we realized, how much can you say about the CPA exam? So we added the term and more. And we end up talking about things really other than the CPA exam, all right, as we are going to be talking tonight to a terrific guest. But before we start that, let me mention this to you. The one thing I do on every podcast is this. I'm sure you all know by now that my wife is a Parkinson's patient, 6 years, and I try to raise money the best I can, and I'm going to ask you if you would do this for me, all right? Send in whatever you can send in, all right, to the Michael J. Fox Parkinson's Foundation, all right? They'll take $1, $5, whatever you can send in, all right? Just go online and look for Michael J. Fox Parkinson's, all right? They are coming out with new medications, all right? Very aggressive, and as you know, Michael J. Fox, who was in Back to the Future, he actually got Parkinson's when he was quite young, all right? But he is the key figure in that organization. And without him, I don't think Parkinson's, you know, as far as cures, would be moving as fast. So please do that. And I just want to tell you, this is our first really podcast of the new year. So I want to wish everyone out there a happy, healthy new year. And of course, we have this wonderful virus that we can't get rid of, all right? So stay healthy, all right? And stay, you know, do me a favor. Whether you believe it or not, all right? I believe to go get vaccinated, all right? Think of the other people, all right? Now, of course, there's a big controversy. I don't believe in that, but, you know, I just remember one thing growing up. We had polio to deal with. No one, when they came out with the vaccine, said, I don't want to get the vaccine, you know, blah, blah, blah. Just about everyone got vaccinated. Now, polio is not gone, but I don't think we've had a case of it in a long, long time. So please consider that, okay? And without further ado, all right, let's go to our guest, all right, who actually has a home right on the water in what island is that, Steve?
The island of San Francisco.
The island, San Francisco now has palm trees, all right, right on the streets. Is that on the streets or is that in Alcatraz Island? Where is that?
No, well, Alcatraz is the place where people with bad lawyers went. That's my living room in San Francisco with a nice Zoom background.
And by the way, it looks awfully good. We, you know, we used to go on cruises once a year, but since this COVID thing, no way, I'm not stepping onto a cruise ship until they guarantee me that I won't get sick. But, you know, I used to get sick a lot on cruise ships. It's like a breeding ground for people that have all these diseases. So anyway, but we do miss those annual cruises. Steve is a senior partner. Are you the senior, are you, how many senior partners are there, Steve?
I'm the only senior partner.
He's the only senior partner at the law offices of Stephen Moskowitz, LLP. By the way, you have any relatives in New York that you know of?
Although I moved to San Francisco from New York City, no.
Okay,
no
but relatives. I'm saying still.
No.
All right, because I have a friend of mine who is a disc jockey in New York City, and his name is Cousin Brucey. Cousin Brucey. And he was,
I remember Cousin Brucey.
Remember Cousin Brucey? Well, Bruce, his real name, all right, is Bruce Moskowitz. Moskowitz, all right? But he changed it to Morrow. And I haven't seen him in a few years because he used to occasionally invite us to the studio at Sirius XM. Now he's back on his original station, which has nothing to do with accounting, by the way, or tax. He's on WABC radio. And if you like 60s music, 50s, some 70s, all right, he's on every Saturday night streaming WABC radio. I get excited when I hear WABC. That was the station I used to listen to when I was growing up, all right? Anyway, Steve is a tax attorney. Am I correct, Steve?
Absolutely.
And Steve is a graduate. He went to Golden Gate University School of Law, which is obviously in San Francisco, all right? And then after you got that, Steve, all right, correct me if I'm wrong, you went on for your Master's of Law.
So what happened was I got my bachelor's degree in accounting from Drexel University in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Then I went to New York University and got my MBA in accounting. Then I became a CPA. Then I went to New York Law School and I got my Juris Doctor, JD, law degree. And then when I came to San Francisco, I got my advanced law degree, LLM, specialization in tax here in San Francisco.
Now, Steve, can I assume you're not going on for any more education right now?
The education that I get now is for my benefit and the client's benefit, but I've had enough formal degrees.
Okay. So you're not going to go on for a medical degree or anything like that?
Not at the moment, no.
Well, you know what they say, there's plenty of time. Plenty of time.
Plenty of time.
Plenty of time. Because Steve is only, you know, we were discussing age, 35 years old, and God bless him, he looks damn good, doesn't he? All right.
Well, you know, I've done a lot of stuff, and as one of my colleagues in the office said, that they celebrate, they give me my annual celebration of my 35th birthday.
So, Steve, based on, well, I'm not going to guess your age. It's always, most people can't guess my age, okay? I actually just turned 102.
I was going to say 27.
Steve, you're okay. God, you know what? You're going to get an extra 10 minutes.
All right.
On the podcast. Now, Steve, tell us what you do at your law firm, all right? You deal with small businesses. What do you do? What type of tax?
We deal with a lot of small businesses. And the reason that I went to law school was to do tax planning. Because when I set foot into law school, I already had a bachelor's and master's degree in accounting. I was already a CPA practicing in tax. But I looked at the Fortune 500, the companies making billions of dollars in profits. And every year you see them in the newspaper, they legally don't pay any taxes. And I said, well, the law isn't just for Fortune 500. It's for everybody. But it's so complex and intricate, and it's hidden in there, and you have to know where it is. It's like a hidden treasure. So I went to law school because I wanted to be the guy who tell the clients what you can do, not what you can't do. I wanted to show them how to legally save money. And something that I'll oftentimes do with a new client, I'll say, so, do you think you make more or less than Apple Computer? And they'll all laugh, ha ha, well, I make less than Apple Computer. But I say, yeah, I believe that. But you know what? You pay more taxes than they do. Why is that? Because Apple Computer has an army of people like me saying, do this, do this, do this, do this. And most small businesses, the owners work really hard. And they wind up, when they come home at night, their biggest decision then is, should I get something to eat or just go right to bed? And they, you know, like the old joke with the shoemaker doesn't have shoes, they go ahead and then another term I have is then they have what I call March Madness. And I'm not talking about college basketball. I'm talking about, they say, oh, you know, I'm paying so much taxes. There must be something that can be done. And then they get busy again and they forget about it until next year. So what I do is I say tax planning is a year-round deal. And a tax return should merely be the summarization of a year's worth of planning. And there's so much you can do. So right now, as you introduce the show, here it is. And it's the beginning of 2022. And somebody could be listening to this, a business owner, and saying, oh, no, I wish I had heard Steve in December, because so much of tax planning has to be done on or before December. You have to write the check by December 31st of year one to deduct it in year one. And if you write the check in year two, you have to wait till year two to deduct it. And that's true with a lot of stuff, but not everything. For example, one of my favorites, pensions. There's over 20 different types of pensions. And with a lot of them, you can set it up and fund it 3/4 of the way into year two and still deduct it from year one. So I'll say to clients, look, and I don't just confine myself to the tax aspects. I'll explain the other things. And there's 4 major benefits of pensions. Benefit one, you pay less taxes. At that point, most people say, sign me up, Steve. I say, well, okay, good. But there's more things. Benefit two, your earnings are not taxed while it remains in the pension. So what that means is that your fund grows faster and bigger. And I'm using the terms pensions and retirement accounts interchangeably. There's some little differences, but we don't have to bother ourselves with them here. Benefit three, cash flow. You don't have to write that check by December 31st, year one. You have about, depending on the type of plan you have about 3/4 of the next year to write the check or even start the plan and still deduct it from year one. And benefit four is asset protection. The money is safe. So suppose you get sued. And, you know, today, everybody loves to sue everybody else. You know, it could be an automobile accident, all kinds of things in business. And I say, you know what? You looked at me the wrong way. How dare you? I'm suing you. And the jury says, well, you know, that's right. You know, you looked at him the wrong way. You shouldn't have done that. $1 zillion. If you suffer a judgment in excess of your insurance, the plaintiff can't touch your pension. And I hate to mention his name, witness O.J. Simpson. And even if, look at O.J., he's had a judgment for many millions of dollars against him for a long time, not lost a penny of his pension. And even if everything goes really badly for you and you have to do a bankruptcy, you keep 100% of your pension. So it's very, very powerful. Not to mention, you know, I say to clients, well, which would you prefer? To have a big check, a big stack of canceled checks payable to the IRS, or a big fat bank account or stock account or other investment account that's your pension because you wrote such smaller checks to the IRS and your state taxing authority, if you're in a state that taxes, which most of them do. So the bottom line is it's just so, so beneficial. And that's just one of the things that we talk about. What else can we do after the end of the year? Is pensions it? No. We take a new client. First thing we look at is, does this client qualify for R&D? Well, it's R&D, research and development. So basically what happens, and one of the things I like about R&D is, unlike most other things where, you know, the tax guy says, okay, now look, invest X number of dollars, but it'll save you Y number of dollars in taxes, which is good. But with R&D, you're not spending a new penny. What we're doing, or you, if you come in, or who's ever doing this, is you say, okay, I'm going to take a look at, your spending this year and the previous 3 years, because you can amend the returns. And I want to see how you spent your money. And if you spent it a certain way, then what we can do is say, okay, you get a tax credit. And as you know, but as I point out to your listeners, a credit is far more valuable than a deduction. If you have a $100 tax deduction and you're in the 30% tax bracket, you save $30 in taxes. If you have a $100 tax credit, you save $100 in taxes. This is a credit, dollar for dollar. So this is a tremendous benefit. And what I stress, you already spent the money. You're not spending a new dollar. But we're saying, okay, I can classify this as R&D, and you get this big, big check from the government. Now, why should there, we talked about pensions, we talked about R&D, there's lots of other stuff, there's all kinds of credits and all kinds of deals. Why in the world should there be such a thing? How can that be legal? So we have to take a look at the tax law itself. There's two purposes to the tax law. Everybody knows about the first one, extracting money from us. Everybody knows that one. But the second one is a different purpose. The government would like us to do certain things because it's good for the economy. But in a democracy, the government can't order you to do something. Like, they can't say to a businessman, you know, it's good for the economy, buy a new machine or buy a new building or do this or do that. So they say, well, okay, we can't order you to do it. So they give you an incentive. What's an incentive? Well, if you do this, what we want you to do, like buy the new machine, buy a new building, whatever, you pay less in taxes. And that really does incentivize a lot of people. And that's essentially the gist of how the Fortune 500 can make billions and not pay any taxes, because they're doing something that the government has deemed socially useful. The government wants them to do it. And they say, okay, well, you know what? If you do this, you can save taxes up to ultimately not pay any at all. That is why you have these things. And what happens is, these things are available to everybody. But it's kind of, think about it like this. Suppose I said, you know what? I have a magic business card here, and I'm going to hand you the magic business card. And if you walk down to the IRS office, they'll write you a check for $1 million in exchange for the magic business card. You probably walk right down to your local office and get your $1 million. But suppose I said, okay, I'm going to take the magic business card and I'm going to put it in the back of a dump truck, big dump truck. And then I'm going to take all other kinds of business cards and I'm going to get in the back of the dump truck with a big shovel and I'm going to mix them all up. And I'm going to back up to your office and I'm going to dump all the business cards in your office. Now you come in the next day, your office is filled with 1 million business cards. What would you do? You probably say, oh my God, what's going on here? Was there a vandal? Was it an accident? Look at all this clutter in my office. I got to hire somebody to clean this up and haul it all away. Well, guess what? You threw away your $1 million magic business card because you didn't know it was there. To you, it was just a bunch of junk. The Fortune 500 has a bunch of guys like me say, you know, I know a magic business card is in there and I know where it's hidden. That is what tax planning is. That's what this is all about, is knowing where that magic business card is. And there's just so many things, you know, I could go on and on and on, but you see benefit after benefit after benefit. And that is essentially why I became an attorney. I didn't want to chase ambulances. I didn't want to do divorces. I didn't want to get bank robbers off. What I wanted to do was save people taxes. And then if the government challenges that, okay, here's why we've done what we've done, and it's okay. It's really okay. And, you know, I've been on the radio for 30 years as a radio commentator, and I've been on TV 17 years as a commentator, 7 years Fox, 10 years NBC, and I talk about this stuff all the time on air. This, you know, an example I use is twin brothers that are alike in all respects, except one brother pays attention to his taxes because he hires the right person to do these things for him. And the other brother also works very hard, but he just files his tax return every year. When the two brothers retire, one brother has a big fat bank account and the other brother has a big stack of canceled checks to the IRS. This is what it's all about. It's so vitally important. And again, the government gives us these things. There's so much. And then, for example, another thing, a lot of people own property as part of their business or their landlords. So one of the things is that we do is something called cost segregation analysis. So we know if we're writing off a building, we write it off over either 39 years or 27 and a half. But that's a long time to wait for a benefit. So what cost segregation analysis does, we send an engineer to your property. And he or she says, well, okay, this is 27 and a half or 39 year property, but this part's 15 year property, and this part's 10 year property, and this part's 5 year property, and this part you can write off all in the year. And it greatly accelerates depreciation, time value of money. That's how banks make their money, time value of money. So what happens is if you have a benefit today instead of 39 years from today, you could save those taxes. And instead of writing that check to the IRS, you can invest that money. And now you have a big fund of earnings that wouldn't have existed if you wrote that check. Cost segregation analysis. That's one of the many things that we do. And then we say, okay, when somebody gives you something nice, what do you say?
Thank you.
Except a lawyer. A lawyer says, more. I want more. So let's assume we have this situation. We have a woman that's a brain surgeon, and she's married to a house husband. And she makes a million, and she has a building that takes in $10 million in rents, and she has to write checks for $9 million. So we have, to me, one of the most beautiful things in the English language. Very, very nice. A positive cash flow with a tax loss. So we say, well, all right, physically, she's now made $1 million in profit from this building. Now, depreciation, you don't write a check to depreciation. It's a paper entry. It's theoretical. And let's assume she's done cost seg. And we say, okay, with cost seg, she has a loss of $500,000. Now, again, physically, her bank account is $1 million more on December 31st than it was on January 1st. But through accelerated depreciation, now she has a loss of $500,000. And coincidentally, keep the math simple, being a brain surgeon, she made a profit in her practice of $500,000. Can she write off that loss from the building against her profit or wages or dividends or interest? So we take a look at Internal Revenue Code Section 469. The general rule, which most accounts will type, is, oh, no, well, that's a passive loss and no write-off for you. But remember her beloved house husband? She says, honey, off the sofa, you've had enough bonbons, you can tape Oprah, you are going to manage my property. And the husband qualifies to be a real estate professional, and it doesn't take much to qualify. Now, that's the exception to 469, so it's no longer a passive loss. It's an active loss, and now that $500,000 paper loss from the building, we apply against her earnings, and let's take a look at the good doctor here. She's made really a profit of $1 million from the building and $500,000 from the medical practice. She's made a profit of $1.5 million, but she legally doesn't pay a penny of income taxes because she utilized cost seg, and then she coupled the cost seg with, what did she couple it with? She went ahead and she coupled it with making the husband a real estate professional. And then, you know, these things can go together. Well, wait a minute. What if she had a pension? That would give her even a bigger deduction. And maybe she can offset that against another year. Another thing that happens with these pensions, we do planning. Suppose we have this situation. We have somebody that makes, and this happens in business, sometimes you have an unusually good or bad year. An example of this would be an lawyers that deal with plane crashes. They have a year when they make boku, and then they have a long time when they don't make anything. But let's assume that we have that in the business. You just had an unusually good year. With these pensions, they're so flexible that you can make multiple plan year contributions in one calendar year, which means you can get a boku deduction in that year when you had all the extra income and avoid paying the taxes legally. Or if you had a bad year, you can do the reverse. So that's why we come in and we do the pension planning. Then we say, well, all right, what about other things? So we do estate planning as well. So right now, most people don't have to worry about estate plan because with the exemption being what it is, most people have far less than that. But if you do have more than that, or the government is always looking at that exemption, always saying, there's always a lot of Congress people saying, you know what, that's too much, that's too much, that's too much. And there's been a lot of talk, especially recently, about bringing that way down, where a lot of people would be subject to estate taxes. How do we beat that? Well, let's take a look at tax planning. Suppose we have this situation. John and Mary are married, and it's their wish to live in their home for the rest of their lives. And when the second of them passes, the home would go to the charity of their choice. That's nice, but there's no income tax benefit in that. So instead, what we would do, we'd set up a CRT, Charitable Remainder Trust. And what happens now is everything is the same physically. John and Mary live in that house for the rest of their lives. They live to be 300 years old. They stay there 300 years. But whenever they pass, the charity gets the house. An actuary comes in the year they say, whenever I die, many years, whenever the second spouse dies, many years in the future, we're going to do this. The actuaries, let's make up some numbers. Let's say they had $1 million equity. And let's say the actuary says, well, based on your ages, what you gave away, it's all theoretical. What you gave away was worth 800 and what you kept was worth 200. John and Mary get an $800,000 tax deduction in year one. And that's wonderful. Except what if they don't make $800,000? They can carry it forward. So the bottom line is physically, everything is the same. They live in the house the rest of their lives. But the charity gets the house when the second one passes. But they get an income tax deduction now. They can live better now because they have more money because they pay less taxes. A lot of other things too. Suppose we have this situation. Sally and Bob bought a house 40 years ago and they had a few kids. Now the kids are grown. They're rattling around in the house. And they say, you know, boy, we bought this house 40 years ago for a song. It's worth millions today. And that's not hard with houses today. And they say, you know, we'd like to move out of this house and get into a nice small condo in someplace warm and nice. But I don't want to pay seven figures in capital gains, or any amount of capital gains. My God, what can I do? Well, another thing you can do is say, well, you know what? I can exempt part of the sale, but the other part that I can't, how about if I gave that to a charity? And then you negotiate with the charity and they can pay you a stream of income for the rest of your life, much like an annuity. So you can choose to either get a set amount for the rest of your life monthly, or you say, I'll take a percentage of the portfolio. So if the portfolio goes up, you get more. So what happens now? Well, you get a tax deduction for the portion you gave away. But what happens is this. You say, well, I could sell the house and buy the stock, but you'd have all those capital gains taxes. The charity doesn't have to pay taxes, so they invest a larger amount, which means your stream of income is a larger amount. And, you know, I could take up your whole show with cute little things like this.
You know, I'm listening to this, and I'm thinking what a lot of people think, all right? Here's a person, such as yourself, And I don't know what you charge, how you charge, but most people would say, you know, this is why the rich don't pay any taxes. They can hire someone like Steve, right? And Steve can come up with all these things that, you know, most people, even plain CPAs don't know all these rules, right? So, you know, here it is. If you have a lot of money, all right, you can hire people like yourself, all right, and save a lot of taxes. But what about, you know, what about people who don't have the resources to hire someone like you, all right? They're going to pay more taxes probably than the person you're dealing with. Am I correct?
So here's how I answer that. So many times when somebody says, well, what's it going to cost me? My response is oftentimes a fraction of your tax savings. So if I said to you, my fee is X, if you save many times X, it's worth it now, isn't it?
What kind of income, the people you're dealing with in your practice, what is their income? You know, do you have a figure? I mean,
yeah, you know what? You don't have to be rich.
You're not going to take someone who makes $100,000 or less, are you?
Why don't we say middle income people?
Which is, let's talk about, what are we talking about in middle income?
I would say, you know, 100 on up.
100,000 up?
And what happens is, much like a tailor, you fit the suit to the person. If somebody 6'8" and 300 pounds walks in the door, you build a different suit. Then somebody walks in that's 5'2" and 137 pounds. Still have a suit, they're just different suits. So what happens is we tailor it to the client. Suppose somebody is middle income, they have a business. You say, well, all right, you can have a pension plan. We can do cost seg, we can do R&D. And basically, look at all the taxes we're saving you, and the fees that we take are a fraction of that. So everybody's better off. And our Congress, in their infinite wisdom, says, hey, do these things. Again, think of the tax code. Everybody thinks of only part one, extraction of money. I'm dealing with part two, all the tax incentives. And again, that's why the government wants you to do these things. It's good for the economy. So everybody wins. You do something that's good, and you get a tax benefit. And that's why I went to law school. When I started my career out, most guys that have a really heavy background like me start off with the big firms and the clients of the Fortune 500. That's how I started out, too. That's what I was doing in New York before I came to San Francisco. And I always worked real hard. And I remember one night I was working away for this Fortune 500 client, and it dawned on me. I said, you know, I could be the best guy or the worst guy in the world. It's not going to matter at all. If I don't show up, it's not going to matter to this Fortune 500 client. Do I want to spend the rest of my life giving everything I have, and it literally doesn't matter if I even show up? I said, no. So I stayed with that firm long enough to get some good experience. And then I went out on my own. I remember one of my very first clients, very nice gentleman. He was upper middle age, not quite retirement age, but knocking on the door. And he had a little dispute with the IRS. And we had to go to court. And he had his aged mother and his sister, who was an accident lawyer, in the courtroom. And every 5 minutes, everybody was reminding me that if I lost this case, he would lose what he worked for in a lifetime. Now, that would make most guys nervous. For me, it was exhilarating. I said, this is why I left the giant firm with the Fortune 500 where nothing matters. To this guy, I am the most important person in the world right now. And when I got him off, he was thrilled. I was thrilled. That was many, many moons ago. But I still remember the guy. And to this very day, I still get the same visceral thrill when I say to a client, hey, look at all the money I save. For example, we had a client a couple of years ago, just before the pandemic, that came in. When he first came in to see me, he had terrible tax problems. And I set him up in a pension. And shortly thereafter, he says, you know, Steve, he said that, you know, his whole life he was struggling just to pay the taxes. Now I got him current on taxes, and he had a quarter of a million in his pension. And it didn't take him that long to get the quarter of a million. And he just was incredulous because he said he was always struggling to try and barely pay the taxes. Now his taxes are all paid. And all of a sudden, this, to him, magical $250,000 showed up in his bank. So, you know, these are the type of things we can do. And this can apply to people of all income levels. And, you know, again, somebody that's making a lower amount, they still need the help, but maybe they need less help and a less of a fee than somebody that needs more help. And we deal with people more walks of life. For example, we do some really fancy international tax work. Boy, can you save Boku International. On the other hand, you know what? We have some people that are of modest means and have simple businesses. We save them money too. So again, like a medical doctor. Medical doctor wants to help everybody that walks into his or her office, regardless of whether you have a serious injury or a minor injury, or better yet, watching your health. It's kind of like their version of tax planning, health planning, so you don't have that heart attack and stroke. You do the planning and say, well, look, you know, maybe those bacon sandwiches you eat with the salami and cheese isn't the best thing for you, and maybe you should eat some more fruit and vegetables and so on and so forth. That's fun, but that's what you're doing. This, we're talking about people's economic health. And that's a major part. And that is very, very wide ranging. And we can help an awful lot of people.
Thank you so much for listening to Yeager CPA Review and More. As a token for our appreciation for your listenership, we'd like to offer you 10% off your next purchase with Yeager CPA Review. Save between $50 to $150 with code PODCAST10. If you'd like more information, look us up on JaegerCPAReview.com. And as always, if you've enjoyed this show, please rate and review on iTunes or your preferred listening platform. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to you tuning in next time.